So this was one of the sermons I had prepared at school, intending for it to be used at camp. Well, the morning I was going to give it at children's camp, I felt like I should change it, and it was something that I was thinking about all day, and I didn't know up until like half an hour before I was actually speaking, I didn't know what I was going to do, and it was a praise the Lord thing, because it was not me that did that night. I changed my mind completely from this to something else, and I went with no notes and just the Holy Spirit in my Bible. So that's just a really quick story. That's not my intro. My intro starts like this. I actually, I really enjoy scars. I have several of them on my body. I actually have a really new one that on my finger, it looks like an elephant or an octopus. But those aren't the scars I'm talking about today. There are two scars, at least, that I got at camp where I work now. And they have made a big impact on my body. The first one is right in my eyebrow right here. You can't really see it with my glasses on. But I got that one when I was 5. So nothing against my parents. They probably informed me of this. But I didn't remember that it was a bad idea to run with hands in my pockets. So I was running. We were going to have a slip and slide that day. I remember it was at family camp. And I was running with my hands in my pockets, and I fell, and I cut my eyebrow open and had to get stitches. And that was when I was 5. The second one that I'm going to talk about, I got last summer, and it's on my elbow. And I had my stuff in one cabin, and I needed to go get something. So I was headed up there, and some of the camp director kids were asking me to come play with them. I'm like, I can't come play with you right now. So they proceeded to chase me. So I ran into the nearest cabin, which the door does not lock. So I was standing in front of the door, holding it close because they were trying to get in. And I was like, there's only one way out of here, and it's either through the door or through the window. I can't go through the door because that's where they are, and they're going to get me. So I jumped out of the window, which is just a piece of plywood. It wasn't actually glass. And I scraped my elbow. So I looked at that scar one day, and I was like, that would make a pretty nice-looking scar. And so I did what my mother told me never to do or not to do, and I picked the scab, so it was scar. And so that's my confession of the day. I picked the scab, letting it impact my body. The one in my eyebrow impacted my body regardless of anything I did. The one on my elbow I let impact my body. That's kind of like the gospel. When we're not saved, the Holy Spirit convicts us to let the gospel impact us. We don't choose to let it impact us. It's something that God chooses for us. But today, as Christians, we let the gospel impact our lives. So with that, God has given us the gospel to impact our life. Again, God has given us the gospel to impact our lives. Now you might ask yourself, what impact does it have on our lives? And it might be obvious, and we might already know the answer, but we will look at two important impacts the gospel has on our lives. The first impact is over sin. And at this time, I'll let you guys turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. This is where we'll be for the majority. I'll look up other passages, but you can keep your Bible there, or you can turn with me as we go there. As you turn there, I will give a little background to this. Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians to the Corinthian believers because they were exhibiting various habits that were not biblical. They were starting to adopt worldly thinking, and this is his teaching on how they should deal with that sin. So I will read, and this is towards the end of the book, so I'll read 3 and 4, or at least 3 right now. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. They were believers, we know that, because he calls them brothers and sisters. A lot of people think that once you're saved, you can never sin or you don't sin. Well, we look here that Christians here were sinning. This is Paul's rebuke to them. So he started with the impact, with the significance of the impact of the gospel. The impact was so significant that it needed to happen. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. We read that Christ had to die for the forgiveness of sins. There had to be that shedding of blood. He paid the price of the world so that we wouldn't have to pay the punishment. We see from Hebrews that there needed to be a payment for sin, and without that payment, the perfect blood of Christ, there would be no forgiveness. So the impact over sin, the gospel had that impact. The way Christ made that payment is two things. One, he became sin, and second, he died. We read in 2 Corinthians, the second known letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 5, 21, it says, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. He became sin. That just brings the words that Christ yelled on the cross, cried out on the cross, it brings it to a new level. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's much more of a dramatic meaning then, because we know that God is perfect and he cannot be in the presence of sin. So at that point, when Christ became sin for us, he could no longer be with his Son. And I believe at that point, God had to turn away from his Son. And Jesus, in that agony, must have been so heartbroken because he could no longer be with his Father because he was sin. Think of it this way. I know some of you, your fathers are not living anymore, but if you, at that point, you can no longer be with your father. I know if I could no longer be with my father, no longer communicate with him, it would be heartbreaking. But in today's society, we don't really get that because we can still communicate with our parents. I can still communicate with my father, whether it's through texting, calling, emailing, whatever. But at that point, Christ was completely cut off from his father. He couldn't just shoot him a text and say, hey dad, how's it going? He could no longer be with him. That's how Jesus was with God. And then he died. It says in John 19 verse 28, it says, and after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, to fulfill scripture, he said, I thirst. And then in verse 30, when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. We read that Christ knew his death had paid for sin. The payment was made. It was finished. Christ's death was made has made the greatest impact on sin. And this impact was for everybody. But we all know that not everybody is going to heaven, so let's think of it this way. There's a restaurant in a town in Billings. And I rent out the whole restaurant for a day, and I tell everybody that they can go to the restaurant. But people choose not to go. But people do go. That's how it is with Christ's blood. It covers everybody's sins, but some people choose for it not to cover their sins. They choose not to believe in Christ. They choose for that payment still to be made by themselves. We've all had this impact on our lives, but are we sharing it with other people? See, Christ has given us this free gift, so we should share it. And that free gift is eternal life. It says in John 3:16, and I'll just quote that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Are we choosing to let it impact our lives? Are we choosing to believe in him? Are we sharing that with other people so that they don't have to go to hell? I had an opportunity last night. Our staff went out to a buffalo kill site, and we got to dig through some dirt and some buffalo bones to find some Indian arrowheads. And David Bradley, who took us out there, shared this very sobering thought that 2,000 years ago, the people that lived there are in hell. Nobody had shared the gospel with them. Now, what are they going to say about our friends? When they're digging through their stuff, are people going to say, are they in hell because we didn't share the gospel with them? This has been a great challenge for my life to realize the importance in sharing this impact. And that's the impact over sin that the gospel has. God has given us the gospel to impact our lives. The first impact was over sin, and the second impact, again, is over our life. I'll read on in verse 4. That he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Even though it's a short little passage, I don't want to overlook the significance of that he was buried. This is really showing the finality in death, especially his. He wasn't just buried like we know today. He was buried in 75 pounds of spices. He was put in a tomb carved in rock, and a giant stone was rolled over the entrance. They knew he was dead. There was no way of getting out of that. Even if he was passed out or fainted, as some people say, there was no way he could have gotten out of 75 pounds after being on the cross. There was also no way he could have gotten out of that tomb by himself. It was the finality in death. They knew he was dead. I remember back in 2012, my grandpa had passed away. Seeing as there were 7 of us grandsons, they asked us all to be the pallbearers in his funeral. As we sat there, it didn't become real until we got to the graveside, and I did so well in class. I didn't cry. Geez, Mom, you had to sit right there. At the graveside, we lowered the casket in the grave, and we covered it back over. And in that moment, I realized he was dead. And he was no longer there, but he was in heaven. And we've all have experienced that because we've all known death and the finality in that. The next part is where we have hope. that he was raised. It was the biggest deal. We have hope now in that. He had gone away. They had no hope. They were scared. They ran away. They hid. Then a group of women went to the tomb the next day. It was early on Sunday morning, and they found hope. They found the tomb empty. In verses 5 and 7 of Luke 24, it says, as they were, so they get to the tomb and they see a man standing there, an angel. And they were frightened, and they bowed their faces to the ground, and the man said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, he is risen. Remember he told you while you were still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful people and be crucified and then on the third day raised." Christ had told them just what had happened, but they didn't remember it and they just didn't believe it. This event, I believe, was the biggest impact as a whole to the whole world. I see it as an impact not just in history, but an impact in the followers of Christ. Just think about the 11 men. One of them was Judas, who is no longer living then. It had a great impact on them. All but one of them died horrific deaths. John was not a martyr, but the rest were. Stephen, the first martyr, he died believing in Christ. It had made an impact in his life. And it made an impact in all of their lives to share. That's another reason we know that the gospel is real. Because if I was a teacher and if I traveled the whole country and taught these huge groups of people and made an impact in people's lives, and then the government made it illegal for the people who followed me around to not listen to me anymore or believe in what I taught, and then I died, it would have no impact on them. They would just stop believing me and run away because nothing I said was truth. If it was something silly like unicorns, they wouldn't believe in what I said because, one, unicorns don't exist, and two, that would just be silly to keep believing that after I died. But Christ had an impact in his resurrection, not just on his followers then, but it continues on to this day. We see so many people martyred, going to jail, trying to break the law because governments have made it illegal to follow Christ. I think of Bridger, and we're supporting him this summer, and some of the kids were like, "Isn't that illegal? Isn't he breaking the law?" And I tried to make them realize that it was a law against God. And it makes a huge impact in their government. It makes a huge impact in our lives today. What kind of impact are we going to let the gospel have in our life? Think of Paul, who wrote these very words. He hated Christ. He hated Christ's followers. But he was impacted so greatly by the resurrected Christ that he was beheaded because of that. He wrote these words of first importance. It wasn't second, it wasn't third, first importance, that Christ died, was buried, and was raised. It was first importance. Let that impact you, Corinthians. Let that impact you, Community Bible Church. Let that impact our lives. if you've accepted the gift that was bought by Christ's blood, your life has already been impacted by Him. I said that earlier, that it was the Holy Spirit working in you to impact your life. Now, are you going to let it impact others' lives with those around you by sharing the gospel? Like I said, what David Bradley said about the Indians, they're in hell now because nobody had shared the gospel with them. Are the people around us, are we going to let that happen to them? It might be really sobering, and you might think that I'm being really harsh, but it's a harsh reality. God has given us the gospel to impact our lives. The first impact was over sin, and the second, the impact of our life. What about you? Are you going to let it impact your life? Don't sit there and let it not impact you. I wasn't going to sit there and not let the scab on my elbow impact me. I wanted it to impact my life. I wanted to impact my elbow. You should want the gospel to impact your life. Again, God has given us the gospel to impact our lives. Let it. Dear Lord, just thank you so much for your word and the impact that it has had on all of our lives, especially of the gospel. I just pray that we don't let it not impact our lives, that we go from here and are filled with strength to share the gospel with those around us. I just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.